Welcome back to the One Short podcast, the Sports Gazette's official cricket podcast. I am Michael, and today I'm joined with Toby and Ayush, as always. Ayush, how you doing?
Not bad at all. Really thrilled today with the way India played. So yeah, that's keeping my otherwise boring Sunday going pretty well.
Yeah, Toby, I imagine the other end of the spectrum for you.
Yeah, completely the other end of the spectrum. I mean, I'm not bad generally, but cricketing wise, yeah, not in the best state, I'd say.
Yeah, that is because India have thrashed England by 434 runs in the third test. After a strong start from India, 445 runs in the first innings, thanks to standout centuries from Rohit Sharma and Ravindra Jadeja. England responded well, but then crumbled on the third day and were bowled out for 319. India then made the most of it on the fourth day, declaring on 430. And England absolutely crumbled this morning, bowled out for 122 runs. So, yeah, I mean, so let's start off with the first innings, India's first innings. The experienced guys stepped up, didn't they? India were missing out on so many experienced players, but Jadeja and Rohit Sharma, the two kind of, maybe, along with Jasprit Bumrah, maybe the two experienced players left, stepped up and hit two really important centuries. Ayush, how important do you think those centuries were for the third test win?
I think match defining in so many ways, right? It was 30 something for three, with another low score for Gill, and Patidar, unfortunately, the start of his test career has not been promising, but yeah, early days for him and he's talented. But yeah, 33 for three, because Rohit was even struggling for runs. We had spoken about this in the previous episode, and Mark Wood was just, he was on top. And with all of the players missing in the Indian order, I mean, just imagine that. 33 for 3, yes. Ravindra Jadeja was to come. Rohit was still playing, but you know you don't have Kohli. You don't have Rahul. They were playing a batter less as well because Akshar Patel was dropped for Kuldeep Yadav in this test. It wasn't a straight swap between Jadeja Kuldeep because Akshar was dropped. It was kind of a surprise to many. The move paid off really well eventually. But yeah, at 30 odd for three, these two experienced batters, they had to do it and they did it. It was just no other option. We saw Sarfaraz playing so well later on. And I'm so glad he lived up to all of the expectations from him. I talked him up quite a bit in the build-up of this game as well. But yeah, imagine if he had to come in for like 50 for four or 60, 70, whatever for four, I don't think it would have been the same story on test debut for him. So brilliant. Jadeja and Rohit Sharma both. Jadeja wasn't in need of runs because he had performed well in the first test as well, and he's been so consistent. But Rohit Sharma needed those runs and bodes well for India going forward. Even if Kohli, we know for sure, is not coming back, but even if Rahul doesn't come back.
Yeah, definitely. I think Rohit Sharma in particular definitely needed those runs. And Jadeja just continues to prove his worth with the bat, doesn't he? I mean, me and you, Ayush, predicted him as player of the series, and that was probably a big factor in that because
that's
he can.
Good, finally.
Finally, a prediction coming true, maybe. I mean, he was player of the match in this test, I believe. Bowled a fifer in England's second innings, but albeit England were terrible. Let's talk a bit about England. Toby, where do you think it went wrong? I mean, a lot of people talking about Joe Root, he's getting lots of flack for that shot off Jasprit Bumrah. I think it's a bit harsh. People saying he doesn't suit Basball and all this, but I'm not so sure. Toby, what do you make of it?
Yeah, I mean, I think it all went wrong in that first innings, considering they were 220 odd for two, and 180 for one. To end up 319 all out is really, really poor. I mean, Ben Duckett had a remarkable knock. That was genuinely unbelievable. And I think everyone knew he had that in him. He's such a good player of spin in particular. But he's actually always really productive and proactive against the seamers, I always think. He doesn't leave the ball very often. I think he's got the lowest percentage by far. He left something like eight balls in the Ashes, in the whole Ashes, something crazy like that. And And yeah, I think he is a very, very good player, and Basball really does just suit him. It just allows him to be free and play the way he wants to. And he plays a sort of, it's kind of an ODI style knock, 100 strike rate, nothing too crazy. Obviously got a bit lucky at times, could have been out on the penultimate ball of that second day, when Ashwin got MLB, but it was pitching outside leg. And yeah, I thought he batted really, really nicely. And when he was in, it was really nice to see the other batters around him were sort of playing second fiddle, and they realized that Duckett was the aggressor. Duckett was the one in form. He was the one seeing the ball well, and they just allowed him to go at it. I mean, Zach Crawley bat 15 off 28, Ollie Pope 39 off 55, Joe Root 18 off 31. None of them really were flying along. I mean, 70 strike rate from Pope's not bad, but he can easily score 100 if he really needs to. And I thought that's kind of the way that cricket should be played, and the Basball at its best is played. You look at some of the best innings in the Basball regime, and I mean, Trent Bridge, when Johnny Bairstow was absolutely hitting bombs left, right, centre, Ben Stokes at the other end, and he wasn't batting at like sort of dropping anchor and wasn't scoring, but he was happy to play second fiddle. He was trying to get Bairstow back on strike because he knew that Bairstow was the man in form at the time. And it happens throughout most of the time. A couple of games in Pakistan, Ben Folkes has done it a number of times where he's played second fiddle to Ben Stokes or other players in the side, and he knows that that's all he needs to really do at the time. And it was nice to see that for a little bit. And then yeah, when Ben Duckett got out, that's where it really began to collapse. I mean, Root obviously sort of started it with his interesting shot, but I don't know what to make of it because he's played it very successfully a number of times. He's been out to it a couple times as well. I thought the one thing he maybe could have said is he normally tries to do it to remove some of the slips is normally what he says when he tries to play it, to try and make them drop one of the slips down to third man or create some scoring areas elsewhere around the field. And it didn't feel like that they had loads of slips in at the time. I think they only had two and maybe a gully or a backward point to the catching. And it felt like that really probably wasn't the time to play it. But then again, that is kind of the way that he plays and he wants to play. And I think I don't mind that as well. I think the issue maybe is that he is now struggling and he is definitely out of form right now, which is tough. And then it just got worse from then on out when everyone else sort of crumbled as well.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Joe Root and Johnny Bairstow, the pair of them are really struggling. Me and Ayush were kind of talking about it before. Johnny Bairstow in particular, really, really struggling. I mean, KL Rahul, who's only played in the first test, Ashwin, Akshar Patel, and Tom Hartley all have more runs than both Joe Root and Johnny Bairstow, which is it's pretty embarrassing stat for those two guys, to be honest. I mean, they should be doing far better than that with the quality they have, the experience they have. So yeah, Ayush, what do you make of Johnny Bairstow and Joe Root? What's your take?
Yeah, again, with Joe Root, first of all, like Toby said, right, it's an interesting one. It's a little bit of a complicated discussion with him, right? Because it's just about, and it's more of baseball. It's not just with Joe Root that the days it comes off like it did in those last couple of sessions on day two, when an England even scored 176 runs, I think it was in the third session on the second day. Which is incredible. And if there's one team that can do that, it is only this England team. But, and that evening, all the narrative and not just all the talk, all the headlines were about the brilliance of baseball. You're unleashing someone like a Ben Duckett. And just the next morning, this happens. And I think McCullum, Stokes, and everyone know that they're going to get both sides of it. Because the kind of game that they are playing is. Has so much risk involved that within a matter of a day, as we saw in this third test, that their style of play is going to get both extremes of chatter around it, right? And that's with Joe Root as well. Now, another angle with Joe Root is that should he let everyone else play this form of cricket, but should Joe Root stick to everything that has made him so successful over the years? I mean, it's interesting. You don't know that because the way Root is playing, you definitely, like Toby said, he wants to play that way. And fair play to him. But Again, I think the Root, he can play this way, but I think he's just getting too carried away by it at times. Because if there's one guy who needs to play the situation, it is Joe Root. And I mean, why I say he's getting too carried away by this style of play is that he played that particular shot to Jasprit Bumrah. Yeah, you can wait. You can wait to target another bowler, but to do that to Jasprit Bumrah, who doesn't even he Bumrah is not going to give you, especially, you know, with the right arm bowler, with his angle, and someone like Bumrah who's constantly attacking the stumps, that shot is just way too risky than it is to maybe playing that to any other bowler. So yeah, he just picked the most horrible moment, I think, to play that shot. And that's what's kind of plaguing Joe Root right now, is that he wants to play this way, but probably not the best equipped to play this way. And just getting a bit too carried away. But yeah, I think if he just tries to calm down a little bit, he's Joe Root at the end of the day. He's all class. So he will probably come good. Bairstow, again, I think he's just not sure how to play in these conditions. And it's shown with him, you know, throughout his career that he's played in India, and it's happening again to him. It's just, he again, there's I don't think he's really confident playing in these conditions, because there's just this big element of doubt in his mind when he's playing here in India. Yes, he needs to do a lot better because he is experienced. If Ollie Pope can do what he did in that first test, that brilliant 180, 90 odd that he scored, and Johnny Bairstow can do that too. At the same time, Johnny Bairstow can also play the way Ben Duckett played, because he's naturally a really attacking player. So it's just about backing himself. I know it's a bit of a cliche, just back yourself and go for it, but yeah, Johnny Bairstow can actually do that. He's got the experience.
I think really interestingly with Joe Root, the shot that he played in particular, as you mentioned, it was Jasprit Bumrah, who is the best bowler in these conditions by such a long, long way. But I think similar to Bairstow, he doesn't almost back himself against Bumrah. He doesn't really know which way the ball's going to be moving, what's going to be happening. He doesn't really think that he has the skills, which he definitely does, because when Joe Root is on form, no one gets him out, and we've seen that when 2021 when he scored. What was over like easily 1,000 runs in the year, in the calendar year, and no one else made it past a couple hundreds, and I think, yeah, it just really shows that he is not in the right mindset. And same as Johnny Bairstow, I think he's sort of not the greatest player of spin at times. He's very, very, very good in a lot of ways, but I think particularly wrist spin, he doesn't really seem to be able to pick Yadav at the moment, I'd say. And I think, yeah, both of them just aren't quite fully there, and that's probably where the issues are coming.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, one player that they can try and take a leaf out of his book is Yasufi Jaswal, right? I mean, what an innings again. It take his innings in that in India's second innings takes his total runs for the test match to 545 in the test. The next highest player is Ben Duckett, who's on 288. It's insane. His 12 sixes in that innings matches Wasim Akram's record for the most sixes in a test innings. Insane. 22 years old. Ayush, how good is this guy?
It's incredible. First of all, that the last person I would have expected to be on that list was Wasim Akram. He was a good batter. He was good in his time, but to have the most sixes and innings and stuff, yeah. But anyway, that's a different story. But Yashasvi, brilliant. Like you said, that, you know, that 545 runs. He's joined elite company already, because I think it's just two occasions. It's just one batter on two other occasions that is above him in the list of most runs scored by an Indian opener in a test series, and that's Sunil Gavaskar. No one, I mean, there's no Sehwag, there's not Gambhir, there's no Rohit Sharma, there's so many other great Indian openers, none of them is on that list. And couple of double hundreds already from him, 22, 23 years of age. He's been touted to be the future of Indian batting, or one of the future stars of Indian batting for a couple of years now, but I think what he's done over the past year or so, and especially in this series, brilliant. It just, yeah, he's batting at home. His real challenge will come when India tour outside, and we saw that in South Africa, right? He looked like someone who's still getting used to the challenges of playing away test cricket, especially as an opener. But to do this the way, even though he's batted at home, the confidence he's showing, I mean, we were just talking about that, Michael, before, a few minutes earlier, before we started this podcast, actually, the way he was playing Jimmy Anderson. Today, there was an occasion where he hit him for a hat trick of sixes. There was another occasion where he hit him for like 16, 18 runs, something like that. I think it was yesterday, when he got to his 100. Brilliant. It's just the confidence to do something like that, to just pack yourself, play the kind of shots that he does. And he is a guy he's a very well-rounded cricketer. We've seen it, he can attack. The first part of this particular innings, the one he played yesterday and today, was the amount of time he took at the start. So he has that aspect of the game to himself as well. He's not just come in, just go hard from ball one. He can take his time, he can show that composure when needed, and then attack like some of the best, most attacking players in the world. So yeah, it's just so good to watch him. Same guy has already scored, and I'm sure in a couple of months we'll see him score like 50 ball hundreds in the IPL as well. So yeah, it's so good to see players like that.
He's definitely part of the next generation of India stars coming through, isn't he? I mean, with so many experienced players out, you're starting to see these the likes of Jaiswal and also Sarfraz Khan and Dhruv Jarrell as well, who were both outstanding in their first appearances in this test. Sarfraz Khan in particular, I thought was so good. I mean, he's got that kind of Rohit Sharma, Johnny Bairstow build. He just stands up, punches the ball away. He's such a satisfying player to watch. It was the first time I watched him in the first innings, and he went for a runner ball. The run out was so unfortunate. Just got barbecued by Jadeja, of course. And it was a shame. As an England fan, I was genuinely like disappointed that he was out, because I was actually enjoying him play. He was such a good player to watch. And a really exciting one for the future. Toby, what do you make of Sarfraz Khan and also Jarrell, the wicket keeper, who did very well on their debuts?
Yeah, they both perform well, much better than Pattadar, who probably looks like the man losing his spot if KL Rahul is fit for the next test, which is a bit of a shame. 2 games, he's 30, he's probably not going to get another chance to play for India. But the other two, yeah, were absolutely class. I mean, for Sarfraz Khan to get 60 in both innings, 60 not out, he's averaging 130 in Test match cricket, which is brilliant. I thought it was quite telling that they sent Jadeja in front of him in that first innings. They obviously don't quite think he's up to maybe facing the new ball and some seamers. And I mean, he obviously had no issues with them when the ball was a bit older. But I mean, Mark Wood and Jimmy probably had a couple more overs to go when Jadeja first came in. So if Sarfraz Khan walks out and maybe falls early, it might look a bit different. But I thought the way he played spin in particular was brilliant. He's such a powerful guy, it looks like. Looks really, really strong down the ground. Saw him play a few brilliant on drives, and straight drives, and yeah, looks really good. And Jarrell, again, so interesting one. Seemed to be shuffled down the order, but yeah, again, batted really nicely. Didn't think he looked particularly good or particularly bad with the gloves. Made a really good run out, actually, wasn't it? To get was it Zach Crawley in the second innings? No, Ben Duckett,
Ben
sorry.
Duckett.
He sort of it almost looked like he was making a mess of it, but he actually did it really, really nicely to get in front of the stumps and take him down. Was really impressive, and yeah, maybe a few byes, but yeah, again, looked pretty decent and pretty handy with the bat as well compared to Bharat, who I thought was a bit harsh. He was dropped, but evidently India sort of thought they needed a bit more batting, and they've gone with Jarrell, who seemingly could be a good player.
Yeah, Ayush, what do you make of the wicket-keeping conundrum that India have with Bharat, who seems to be slightly better with the gloves, but I mean, Jarrell performed really well. So do you think Jarrell will keep his place going forward?
I think he will. Yeah, I think until, yeah, we'll see how they go with this combination when KL Rahul comes back. Because, yeah, I think even the first test, when Rahul was there, with his keeping, we're not entirely sure yet in test cricket, right? Because he is not a wicket keeper. He's not a specialist, KL Rahul. But yeah, we'll see how that plays in the future. But I think, yeah, Jurel keeps his place for now over Bharat, because he just looked a lot more confident in his batting. I'm not saying that Bharat didn't do well. Bharat did pretty well in how much he's played so far. He looks like a, some really determined, and he's had some valuable innings as well. But it just looks like Dhruv Jurel is again the exuberance of youth, as they say, and someone who's just confident, and likes to play shots, and at the same time he's got a very good technique on himself as well. And his keeping, I thought, I was really pleasantly surprised by the way he kept wickets. Bharat is definitely a bit better with his experience, and he's just, like you said, he looks better as a keeper. But Dhruv Jurel was so impressive behind the stumps. Good technique, that Ben Duckett run out that Toby said spoke about, was just so good taking the ball in the half volley and breaking the stumps, and just keeping to the spinners as well. He looked impressive. No real big mistakes from him or something. And I think it bodes well from a long-term perspective to keep giving Dhruv Jurel a few more chances. Things will definitely change when Rishabh Pant is back. Because once he finds his groove, once he gets, it's been a year and a half now. It will be a year and a half until he starts playing international cricket again. So it's going to be tough for Rishabh Pant to get into, to find his groove right away. But once he does, and he's again 25, 26 years old, so given what he's done in Test cricket, it's going to be tough to keep him out. So we'll see how that plays. Of course, I think Dhruv Jurel is a very good contender to be second fiddle to a Rishabh Pant in the long term. But until then, looks like a very, very good prospect in that keeper batter position.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I mean, this India team, there's a lot of changes between each test. It'd be interesting to see if they make any changes going forward. Quick turnaround before the next test starts on Friday. Toby, how do you think England can bounce back? I mean, Stokes said in an interview this morning, he said that we've still got a great chance to win 3-2. Optimistic as always. I mean, can England come back? And are there any changes that you think should be made? I mean, the bowler's got hit around quite a bit today. Do you think there are any changes there?
I mean, I'll start with what Stokes said, and I think he's 100% right. I think it's just as likely England win 3-2 as India win 4-1. I think you can't really call what's going to happen. I mean, England have been the second best side, I think, in for most of the series, but as proven in that first game, all it takes is moments. And I mean, Ollie Pope had that. Ben Duckett almost had that. He just needed someone around him, really. And yeah, I mean, I think the bowling maybe could be an issue. As you mentioned, they didn't really look like taking wickets, but it was a much flatter pitch than we've seen in the previous two games, I think. And it's likely the other two will probably be more similar to Vizag and the first game. So I think there's not really any issues for the England side. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they maybe make a change, possibly back down to one seamer, depending on what the pitch looks like, and bring Shoaib Bashir back in. But otherwise, I think England will probably keep the same side. Personally, I'd like to see Dan Lawrence get a go. I think he's a really good player of spin. Bowls a bit of spin as well if needed. And I think he's, from what I've seen in the past, I mean, 2 years ago he had some very good innings against India. Well, 3 years ago it would have been now. And yeah, I think it's the kind of player that I think plays spin really well. He's very confident against spin. And maybe coming in for Johnny Bairstow could be a good option. But otherwise, I don't think there's anything major that England really needs to change. And I don't think they will, because it's not their philosophy. They know that they have a very good side. They're nothing much has changed in 3 games or in 2 games for them to think, yeah, throw everything out the window, let's make 11 changes, fly out some teenagers, we'll bring in James Vince or whoever it might be. They're not going to think like that in any way, because that's not what they want to do. That's not how they've played for the last 2 years. So I think they will stay calm. They know they have a great chance of winning. And yeah, I think they'll probably stick with the same 11. I'd have thought maybe Shoaib Bashir in possibly is the one thing.
Yeah, I think that's quite important that people kind of remember. Don't get, I mean, yes, we got thrashed. It was an absolute demolition job in this test, but at the same time, it's a great India team. And also, I don't know, I think there aren't really that many changes that can be made. I mean, we've got injuries. You mentioned that you're still banging that Dan Lawrence drum. And yeah, I'd like to see something a bit different. In there, in Ayush, what do you think about the England team? Do you think we need to make any changes?
No, I agree with Toby there. I think giving Dan Lawrence a shot wouldn't be a bad thing because he does play spin well. And he's, again, confident young player. And I think with some of those struggles in the middle order, it would not be a bad shout, maybe. I don't know. I don't know how Jonny Bairstow is feeling right now playing in these conditions, like I spoke about. Maybe it would be good to just keep him out for a game, get in Dan Lawrence. It would just add a little bit of variety to that middle order as well. A new, young player just given the free hand to go and play this baseball style of cricket. I'm sure even he'll play an attacking brand of cricket. So yeah, I think I would like to see that change. Other than that, yeah, I think Bashir comes in place of probably Anderson. I'm not sure, or just even Mark Wood sits out because they don't want to risk him as well quite a lot. So you don't know. I think maybe Mark Wood stays in for me and Jimmy sits out after a couple of test matches in a row because they're playing at Ranchi. So it's more of a turning wicket. The fifth test in Dharamshala will definitely, I think, see at least two seamers from both teams because those conditions in Dharamshala, the altitude and everything there, it's more that wicket does traditionally have more pace and bounce, but and a greener track. So there, I think we will see more pacers and pacers coming into the fore more. But yeah, I think England, like Toby rightly mentioned, don't need to do a lot, don't need to change a lot. Like it would just show the opposition that we are really scared if they go on and make four or five changes or whatever it is. But yeah, get someone like a Lawrence in, maybe give that a shot, and Bashir in, depending on the conditions. Other than that, yeah, I think they'll just continue this way. And McCullum and Stokes, yeah, I don't think they're the kind of people who get really, scared of a situation and just make like a host of changes.
Yeah, I mean, India, meanwhile, there was talk about Jasprit Bumrah being rested before the third test. He wasn't. He played, wasn't as effective in this test. I mean, he still bowled well. Of course, got Joe Root out. But it wasn't as effective as the second test. Are we going to see him be rested, do you think, Ayush?
Yeah, I think they can now take that call and give him a rest. It would be good. He has played three tests in a row. You don't want to risk him at all. Given it's a five test series and with the amount of cricket that's coming up as well, right? They play the IPL soon after this, where I don't think Mumbai Indians would want to drop him for a game or rest him for a game as well. Even for one game, I don't know. And then the T20 World Cup, where you absolutely need him. India will have no chance of winning the T20 World Cup without Jasprit Bumrah, even though the rest of the team is still so good. But yeah, you don't have a chance if he's not there. So yeah, I think it is going to be important. Yeah, in an ideal world, you don't want him to sit for even one game, right? Because of what he can do. But I think they'll be a bit more comfortable with taking that call with the way Siraj bowled in the first innings, especially. He looks like, he can take control of the fast bowling. And yeah, I don't know if they're going to play four spinners. Maybe not. Maybe Mukesh can come in, or chance to give someone like an Akashdeep who's been added to the squad. Just try him out, a young pacer, and maybe just give someone like him a chance. But yeah, Siraj, I think, can do the job of leading the attack on the fast bowling front. And India, another thing that they would be more comfortable to make this decision, another reason is Jadeja's back and picking wickets. And you can always rely on him to do the job. And be your chief wicket taker, because Ashwin doesn't look like at his absolute best. Of course, there's different things going on in his life as well. But yeah, he's got his 500th, but he doesn't look at his absolute best right now. But you have Jadeja, so why bother?
Yeah, I mean that fourth test is starting on Friday, like I mentioned earlier, and we'll be back next week to talk about that. In other news in the cricket world, New Zealand have beaten South Africa quite comfortably, I think. I mean, I didn't get to watch it, but Kane Williamson scored another century. Yeah, I mean, what happened in that game? I mean, I didn't really follow it. What can you guys tell me about that?
Yeah, it was much closer showing from the South Africans this time. Obviously, still quite a inexperienced side, but they looked a lot better. David Benningham, our favourite, I think, scored a good ton in the in that third innings. So it's good to see him back in the runs. I mean, I think he's probably going to keep his place actually when all the big guns come back in. He's probably been the standout performer on the tour for South Africa. There was also a fifer for Dane Peat, who. Don't know much about him. He's 33 is the one thing, so he probably won't be in around for too long. Obviously, South Africa have a very strong bowling lineup as it is already, so I think it's likely he probably won't retain his place in the sides. Got an average about 31 in first class cricket, so I mean, yeah. But I think it's a much better performance from South Africa, which is mainly the good thing to see. I think playing a two match series is always tough because if and when teams lose that first game, they know they can't win the series and they're effectively out of it. I mean, the number of times England have played two game series against New Zealand, against Sri Lanka, whoever it might be, and have lost that first game, you kind of think, oh, well, now what? Kind of, you obviously want to win the second one, but you just know all it's about is tying it up and the other team just needs a draw, which is a bit of a shame. But yeah, I think there were runs all around, really, from the South Africans. A lot of them made 20s and 30s. And a nice little partnership in the first innings, from some lower order guys as well.
Yeah, South Africa should be happy with this performance in the second test, with the kind of team they took, the inexperience and everything, they were expected to be absolutely smashed in both tests. They did get kind of smashed in the first one, but they fought so hard at one point it looked like they might actually win this test match. And it's a big positive that this young South African team can take back home. If not for Kane Williamson, they probably would have won this test match. Again, Williamson, I mean, I don't know what to say about him, right? 700s now in his last seven test matches, in the middle of all of these injuries and surgeries and whatnot that he's been through. That's just incredible. He's so good for me, definitely. The best test batter of this generation, I think, better than Kohli as well in test cricket. I'm gonna say that because I've just been a big Williamson fan for a long time, and he's just too good. I think the best test batter of this generation. But yeah, positive signs for a very strong New Zealand team who now have beg your pardon, Australia coming up. So that's gonna be a much more competitive series for them. So yeah, it looks good for them, but good test match, I would say. Very good for the neutrals.
Yeah, I mean, Toby, what do you make of that? Kane Williamson, best test batter of this generation. Where does he rank for you?
I think that's bold. That's a bold statement. I don't hate it. I really rate Williamson. I think where he plays obviously is a factor. He doesn't play anywhere near as many games as the other three. Obviously, Steve Smith, Virat Kohli, Joe Root have played a huge number of games, more than he has, just because they play four or five test match series. New Zealand barely play more than a two or occasionally a three match series. And yeah, I really like Williamson. I think he bats at three as well, which you can't sort of the effect on that obviously means he's gonna average a bit lower as well. I don't think he's the best, I would say. I think he is still number four for me, just. But
Who's
I
top three
think
then? Who's top three?
Smith, Root, Kohli, I think is for
Smith
me. I think
first.
probably for me. I think I'd go Smith, Coley, Root, I'd say. I think if it was about a year ago, Root might have been a bit higher up, just for sort of, I don't know, recency bias, because he had such a good 2021 and 2022. But I think it's hard. I think the thing with Williamson is he's never going to play enough big cricket games to really show. I mean, the fact that the biggest three series in Test match cricket are between India, Australia, and England. Whenever they play each other, it gets so many more eyes and so much more viewing than whenever they play New Zealand. And he has done it against the big sides. He scored hundreds against all of them, I think. Possibly, maybe not Australia. And but yeah, I just don't think he's quite at that same category, but only because he's playing for a smaller, in inverted quotes, nation, I'd say, which doesn't help. If he played in England for England, for India or Australia, he would probably be, it would be a much harder call for me, I'd say. But we don't know, do we?
That's fair.
Interesting, interesting. I think I'd agree with you there, Toby, but only just. I don't like putting Steve Smith first, but he is good. He is a good player. But yeah, anyway, we've got a bit of time, so predictions for the fourth test, please, Ayush.
Yeah, India's taking it. I think they're riding on this confidence. England will come out hard. They will. They probably just come out harder than they did in that first innings with Ben Tucker leading the way because they have a point to prove. Series is on the line. They're kind of embarrassed after this, what happened this morning, and they're gonna wanna answer and they're gonna wanna have come back hard. And I think they will. And Ben Stokes said it later, right? Because he said that he was having a conversation with Joe Root, and they just thought that they kind of went into a little bit of a shell on the third morning after what happened the previous evening with them dominating that last session, like I mentioned earlier, and Ben Duckett's innings. So yeah, Stokes was of the view that they went into a little bit of a shell, which they shouldn't have, and that kind of turn completely changed the game around and led to that collapse in the first innings. So yeah, he said that we'll think a bit more and we'll talk a bit more about our approach for the rest of this week before the fourth test. So yeah, they will come harder, they will give more of a fight, but I think on that Ranji wicket, with the way India's key players are performing and some of these youngsters are also performing, Rohit now back in form, Jadeja is never out of form. So I think they're in a pretty good position. 3-1 and sealing the series in this test.
Yeah, I mean, I struggle to disagree with you there. Toby, what do you think? Have you got any bold predictions this week? Maybe Joe Root player of the match again?
I think Joe Root player of the series has to be the call now, doesn't
He needs
it?
like two triple hundreds to do that now.
I think, to be fair, I only think he needs 200s to win it. If he scores 200s and England win the next two because of his scores, I think that might give him player of the series. But I think head saying India, heart says England, which seems like the way. I do believe England have that ability and have the belief, which I think is most important, to come back and to win. Whether I think it will happen is a different matter. I think India are, like, the way they played in that sort of third and fourth innings really does just show why they've been so dominant at home for the past decade, 15 years, because it's so hard to beat them. You can't give them an inch. The second that England collapsed in that second innings, and India just they had them in a lock, and they just put the pressure on. They didn't let up at all. And I think India teams in the past, and even in that first Test match, have done that. They haven't had that killer instinct. But all this India side has known is winning, and it is victory, and that feeling of dominance, which I think they have now. So I wouldn't be surprised if India do go on and win 4-1. But I also think that the Baz Ball and Brendan McCullum and Ben Stokes have the belief that you need to have and to show a contest and to create a competition within India. So I think my prediction of 3-2, I would stick with. I think India are definitely still favourites. But as we said, all it'll take is one brilliant performance, which has happened for from an England batter, from an England bowler. I think the bowling is key, really, actually. I think the spinners really need to stand up, and it's hard because they're both so young. All three of them are so young, without Leach now, but they're the ones who really need to show why they have they've had the faith put in them. Why England have selected a couple teenagers to come to India and to try and win a Test series. So this is where I think it will really need for them to stand out, and they could cement themselves in history if Tom Hartley goes and takes another few wickets. Not only will he cement himself in history if England win, but also probably cement himself in the England side for the next decade, probably as their lead spinner. And could be the same for Rehan Ahmed or Sherb Bashir. It's kind of all up in the air. So I think that's maybe the hope for them, and is that if they really want it, they can effectively cement themselves as England spinner and leapfrog Jack Leach.
100%. Yeah, I think you both summed it up really well. I'm going to agree with you, Toby, there. I think it will be 3-2 to India. I think India will take the fourth test and will win the last test, just consolation victory. But yeah, I mean, it's exciting. Looking forward to the final two tests. We'll be back on Wednesday with a WPL special episode. But yeah, thanks for listening. Thanks for joining me, guys.
Cheers for having us.
Yeah, good fun as always.
Good stuff. And yeah, we'll see you on Wednesday. Thanks for listening.